Hello, Shelter Rock Church. My name is Leslie Stolz, and I am one of the teaching pastors on staff, and it's so good to be with you today. I'm here in front of an old airline hangar previously owned by Northrop Grumman, a company which was known to be one of the leaders of the 20th century in manufacturing military and civilian aircraft. Now, you may have never flown in a military fighter jet, but my guess is that you've boarded a flight to travel around the country or perhaps even the world. On any given day, just a few months ago, before the world came to a pause, over 44,000 flights took off and landed at American airports. That means about 2.7 million people were flying on the same day at 30,000 feet in the air at the speed of 300 miles per hour. It's crazy. Well, a little over 100 years ago, this flying stuff was all science fiction. But then two brothers, Wilbur and Orville, turned science fiction into science fact. The Wright brothers' dream of flying traces back to an autumn day in 1878 when their father, a pastor and church leader, brought home a rather unique toy. Their father gave them a rubber band powered helicopter. Now, using the rubber band to twirl its rotor, the toy helicopter flew into the air. I'm sure it didn't look exactly like this, but just like our toys today, after a few flights, the toy helicopter broke. But instead of giving up on it and going on to the next toy, the Wright brothers decided to make their own. And one day, while working on building this toy instead of studying in school, they were caught by their teacher. Orville explained that he and his brother Wilbur planned to not just make the toy, but they, in fact, were going to build a craft large enough to carry them both into the sky. Now, that was a rather bold and ambitious goal at the time. The Wright brothers, though, had a vision of what could be. And so they pursued it with their lives. They had faith that it would happen. Webster's dictionary defines faith in several different levels, from a firm belief in something or someone to sincerity of intentions. Now, I would say the Wright brothers had good intentions and strong determination to fly. However, intentions and determination will only get you but so far. This summer, we're discovering together what it means to walk by faith. But you see, we're not talking about having good intentions or a determination about something or someone. The faith we want to walk through life with is a faith that trusts. It's a faith that's confident in God and in the truth of His Word. Over the past couple of weeks, we've looked at Hebrews chapter 11. And again today, we are in what is known as the Hall of Faith. This chapter in Hebrews is filled with examples of people who lived out what it means to walk by faith. Faith here in Hebrews 11, it's a confident and firm trust in God, but it goes beyond just mentally agreeing who God is. Faith is active obedience to God. In today's passage, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 12, we're introduced to a man who is referred to throughout Scripture as one who had great faith. The man named Abraham did not have an easy life by any means. And so we will see today that it's no doubt as to why we would look at the life of Abraham to glean what it means to walk by faith, even when life does not make sense. So let's read together these verses from Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 12. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, who architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. What an amazing faith. It was by faith that Abraham and Sarah received the surprise of God's blessing in their life. And it's by faith that you and I can receive God's blessing in ours. So let's take note of their faith, because I think it's going to help us guide our faith as well. So first today, faith obeys even when it does not know where. In verse 8, we read that Abraham, when called to go, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. The full story of what happened is found back in Genesis 12, and you can go back and read it later today or this week. But in Genesis 12, verse 4, this is what Abraham did in response to the words of God. We read, Abraham went as the Lord told him. That was it. It was as if God asked Abraham to hop on an airplane, but the destination was unknown. God said, go, and Abraham went. Now, this is what's interesting to me. Here's Abraham, a middle-aged guy who was probably content in his lifestyle, well-known in his hometown, comfortable in his financial situation. He even had other idols he worshiped. I believe Abraham had experienced the life of comfort and fame and wealth and realized that none of it satisfied. Because when the God of the universe, the very God who created the stars in the sky that Abraham looked up to at night, when that very one true God called his name and gave him a mission, Abraham went. There were no questions. There were no ifs, ands, and buts. I believe the same is true today. You know, we can easily get content in our lifestyles. We like our financial securities, our comfortable homes, our solid jobs, the routines we have. We even like our idols that take our attention. It's easy for us to get comfortable when we are where we are and miss out on the place that God has for us. Abraham saw what God had ahead of him, in that it was far better than anything he was leaving behind. The Christian life is about leaving behind the comfortable, the familiar, the known, and making the decision to walk with Jesus. The disciples, they left their nets and followed Jesus, and they had no clue what the life ahead of them would be like or what was going to even be asked of them, but they went. Wherever you find yourself on your journey with God today, I want to encourage you that the life with Jesus is far better than anything else you can compare. Now, perhaps you think that if you agree to following Jesus, you're going to end up someplace you don't want to be, or maybe you think you won't have any fun and you're going to live a boring life because of all the rules and the regulations in the Bible. Listen, that is far from the truth. Following Jesus is a life full of adventure. And ultimately, any circumstance you may find yourself in is far better because you are where God has led you to be through faith. C.S. Lewis summed it up well with this quote, "There are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind." Abraham stepped out in faith even when he did not know where exactly he may end up. And I believe we can as well. Secondly, I want us to know that faith obeys even when it does not know when. We read in Hebrews 11, verses 9 and 10, how Abraham was like a stranger in a foreign country and looked forward to the city with foundations. If we went back again to Genesis chapter 12, we read how God made a promise to Abraham that the land of Canaan would be his. However, there were other people occupying the land. It was as if Abraham had the land, just not the title deed. And in fact, even his children and his grandchildren would not own that land. Imagine your grandma called to talk to you, and in the course of the conversation, she promised to bring a special surprise the next time she visits, only that it's going to happen who knows when. The surprise or the gift is technically yours, you just don't possess it. In the same way, Abraham was given the promise, yet no time frame on when he was allowed to have the gift. Abraham looked forward to when all made sense and the fulfillment of promises was received. It was that outlook that gave Abraham the ability to be content even when life did not make sense. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, you too are looking forward to when God's design for this world is restored, when the way in which God intended creation and relationships to function as they should. The Bible says that we groan inwardly, groan as we wait. Now, we probably have felt that longing a little bit more, especially in these last months, but we do not know when all of it is going to be set right in our world. We read too that Abraham was a stranger in the land. He lived in a tent. He was not settled. He lived in a temporary home, not a permanent one. The Bible refers to followers of Jesus as strangers in this world. The Apostle Paul writes that our citizenship is in heaven, meaning we realize we're not permanent residents in a sense to this world. We belong to another kingdom with values and priorities that are different to this world. If you've ever hopped on a plane, you know that the less baggage, the better. Traveling light, it's definitely worth it, especially when you travel abroad and are in unfamiliar territory. You see, you want to be able to explore the area with ease and see all that you can. You want to be able to experience the trip to the fullest. Well, we are to travel this life with as little baggage as well. I believe by living as strangers in this world, we have the freedom to not be so controlled by stuff. We don't have to hold so tightly to our money, our possessions, or our other treasures. Because remember, we belong to a different world with a different set of values. We may never see the answers to our questions or see the complete fulfillment of a promise like Abraham. But faith obeys even when it does not know when everything will work out or make sense. Our reward for faith is it's not the perfect life, but we can have the fullest life as we have God with us in the journey. Faith obeys even when it does not know where. Faith obeys even when it does not know when. And lastly, faith obeys even when it does not know how. In these next verses, we read that Sarah and Abraham, who were past childbearing ages, were enabled to bear children and have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Now, when we first read of this happening to Abraham and Sarah back in Genesis, there was a problem. They had no children. In fact, scripture recorded that Sarah was barren and unable to have children. This is one of the many couples in the Bible who struggled with infertility. And so for Abraham and Sarah to become the start of a great nation seemed impossible, since they didn't even have one child of their own, not to mention they were both way past the childbearing years. In Genesis chapter 17 and 18, we read about when God spoke again to Abraham about the future and about these promises. Listen, when Abraham first heard from God and he said he would have a child and have so many descendants, he was 75 years old. And Abraham is 99 when God circles back around to remind him about having a child. Talk about waiting. For almost 25 years, Abraham and Sarah waited for God to give them a child. 25 years. It's no wonder that when Sarah overhears the news again that she still is going to be a mother, she laughs. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 13 and 14, we read that when the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' When I return to you at the appointed time next year, Sarah will have a son. Now, here is Sarah eavesdropping on Abraham and his guest, and she laughs. This laughter was not because one of the men told a joke or even from the joy of the great news. The fact is, this laughter was from doubt. Sarah overheard the statement that she was to have a child, and she was 90 years old, way past childbearing years. Sarah laughed and disbelieved the promise of God, not because she disregarded God, but because she could not imagine the possibility of being a mother. If you notice in verse 14, it says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Most Bible translations use the word hard. However, the word here is not necessarily questioning the power of God, but rather the goodness of God. The rhetorical question should read, "Is anything too marvelous or too wonderful for God? Or is anything too miraculous for God?" Sarah knew God was mighty, but was God capable of keeping remarkable, breathtaking, and wonderful promises? Would God allow Sarah to experience joy? We usually come down hard on Sarah for her skepticism, but I have to say, she does have reason. You see, up until this point, Sarah has been through complicated situations, and most of them are out of her control, and they've left her ragged. She probably had every reason to doubt God's goodness. Sarah may have thought she was overlooked and beyond those good years. You know, God too sees your doubt. God knows your uncertainty that you have toward him or towards good outcomes in your life. Maybe you feel barren, stuck in your circumstance. Perhaps you're unable to change your social status because of a job or because of a bad choice from the past or because of an uncontrollable factor. Maybe you are infertile and long for a child. Maybe you have a child and long for them to return to your family or to the Lord. Let me tell you, do not give up on God because he is not done yet. God is in the business of doing marvelous things. God has done it. God is doing it, and God will do it again. He is at work even when we cannot believe it or see it. God has a plan bigger than you, doubt and all. So trust him and be faithful as he is faithful and good to you. This is what God is. Abraham and Sarah considered God faithful, and you can too, because he has and will continue to do marvelous things in your life as we walk by faith with him. Maybe you're thinking, I want to believe in the goodness of God, but I can never see this thing happening. I don't even know if it's possible. Or maybe you feel as though you need to assist God in keeping his promises, or maybe to speed something up in someone or in some situation. Maybe you think you should help out God because the results aren't coming fast enough or in your timetable. Sometimes we think we know what God is up to, and so we try to help him out. Abraham and Sarah, they tried that, and it didn't go so well. But even though Abraham and Sarah had their moments of doubt, there was a steady faith in them because they trusted God. Romans chapter 4 attests to the faith of Abraham and Sarah. And in verse 17, we read that, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. God calls into being things that were not. To Abraham and Sarah, you will have a child. You will be the father of a great nation. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Likewise, there is nothing too marvelous for God to do in your life. So believe it. God is able to redeem lives, to restore relationships, and to renew your faith. You and I can rely on God today because he has kept and will continue to keep his promises. Orville and Wilbur Wright had the hopes to one day have a craft to carry them into the sky. On December 17th in 1903, Orville himself went airborne for 12 gravity-defying seconds in the first powered piloted flight in history. It's almost impossible to imagine life as we know it without airplanes. But like every innovation, every revolution, every breakthrough, someone had to imagine the impossible first. Every dream has a genesis moment. It usually starts small as a toy helicopter. Every person who walks by faith has to have a beginning point as well, the moment they step out in trust to follow God. The chain reaction of faith leads us to a place that can give wings to the areas of our life that seem impossible. Without knowing it, the Wright brothers were creating the airline industry, the FAA, the TSA. I'm sure it never crossed their minds, but their flying faith is the reason why millions of people speed through the air in our country. Abraham and Sarah, they couldn't foresee how one miracle child would come as promised to them, and it would bless the entire world. They didn't know where, when, or how, but they considered God faithful and good and able. So they walked by faith with him. Thousands of years later, from the family line of Abraham, Jesus Christ was born. Through his life, death, and resurrection, all the world is blessed and given the opportunity for meaning and purpose and new life through faith in him. And you know, we are invited to follow him in his ways, knowing that it may not always make sense, but we know the one, Jesus Christ, who is walking with us. We may never know the results of our faith steps, but it's worth the journey. So let's follow him and have faith in him, even when we don't know where, even when we don't know when, even when we don't know how.